Sure.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Praise you, Lord.
Oh, we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Praise you, Lord. This is the day that the Lord hath made.
Yes.
Let us rejoice and be glad therein.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for this new day that we're walking in.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, just like anything that's new, we have to learn about it. We have to study about it. We have to come into all this new knowledge of everything that you're doing in this hour.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you.
I thank you, Lord, that you've given us all the grace that we need to enter into this new day, to enter into this new light, and even manifest this new light.
Yes, Father.
Which is your life, Lord. Life and light. It's one and the same thing. In your life, there is light. And in your light, there is life. So, Father, we thank you that the Holy Spirit, even right now, is taking charge of the reins of our heart.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And he's starting to lead us and to guide us into all this truth, Father.
Yes.
So, Father, we just received from your gracious hand this morning everything that you want to deposit within us.
Thank you, Lord.
Everything that you want to reveal to us individually here this morning, Father, because only you, Lord, know your children like nobody else.
Yes.
And you know the nutrition that we need this morning, Father. You know the word that we need to heal our bodies, our souls.
Yes.
So if there's any amongst you sick, let him pray. And Father, we pray even this morning that you would touch the bodies that are in this room and even out in the sanctuary this morning, Father,
thank
as
you,
we prayed this morning. You said that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Father, we know that there's only one righteous man.
Yes.
And that's you inside of us, Father.
Yes.
So, Father, we just believe that this morning that it's your voice that's praying and not our voice, and that you desire that we be healed, Father. And that we come into everything that it is that you have for us this day.
Praise you, Lord.
This day.
Thank you, Lord.
This
thank
day.
You.
In Jesus' name.
Thank
amen.
Amen.
You, amen. 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 And amen. And amen. Well, we have a small but mighty group today. So that's good. Praise the Lord.
Mighty is he that's within us.
Small but mighty.
Amen.
Okay. Julie, you want to read, and if Brenda, you can get the Amplified ready for or you or Buddy, either one. We're going to concentrate on the first five verses, but primarily with 3, 4, and 5. Just right there.
Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life. For I am holy. You are my God. Send your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord. For I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant. For to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you.
Okay.
You guys want to
know?
No, thanks. Thank you.
Any, either one of you want to read the Amplified?
All right, I'll read it then.
Loud and proud.
Oh. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Justify.
Yeah.
Justify, yep. Mm-hmm.
All right,
praise the Lord. Kind of a different flavor from 85, isn't it?
Do you know I did not read the Amplified?
I don't care.
I looked and I said,
that's okay.
I didn't read the Amplified. I looked in there and I said, that Amplified.
You know what? I've read
here.
5 or 6 different versions and there's not a lot of difference. I mean,
she didn't read King James.
We're
going to
talk. She read New King.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Right. But there's a few things that are different, but it's all saying similar things. But we're going to focus on 3, 4, and 5 today. So starting off with verse 3 says in the New Living, be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am calling on you constantly. Are we calling on him constantly? Hopefully we are.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to see what we got here. King James says, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. That word merciful is to show favor, to be gracious, so much more, but to cry out is what I really liked. I mean, you know, have you ever had a time in your life where you really, really knew that you were crying out, that this was something that was coming deep, deep, deep inside of you and you were crying out to the Lord? I mean, I think crying out is, you know, basically a daily thing when you hear the definition of it. But I think there's times in our lives where we really cry out to the Lord, you know. And I think he will allow us to be placed in those situations to see how we cry out to the Lord. So that the word cry out is, of course, to call out, to recite, to read, to cry out, to proclaim. But I like the root word of that word, those two words, cry out, good morning. And that is to encounter. I like that. You know, when we encounter him, there's that unity of faith, you know, his faith and our faith coming together. And then the word meet, M-E-E-T. So those times, I think, when we're really crying out to him, we're saying, Lord, meet me here. Meet me in my situation that I'm in right now. Meet me in these trials that I'm going through, Lord. Meet me here, you know. I want to encounter you. And when I'm encountering him and meeting him, you know, in his presence is what?
Fullness of joy.
And so I think we get to those times when we just covet his presence, covet his, you know, and yeah, it is an emotional thing. Yes, we do feel it in our body and soul, but you know, it is also a spiritual thing, a very spiritual thing, because we are, you know, being one with him, made one with him. So every day we cry out to the Lord, and I mean, I cry out to him every morning before I put my feet on the floor, you know. I thank him for waking me up that morning. I thank him for what the day has to hold. I pray that his will be done in that day, you know, and give me favor in that day. Give me strength in that day. I mean, I have a lot of things I pray for that day. And, of course, interceding for family members and friends and whatever, too. So, yes.
I was thinking, I just thank him for waking in his presence.
Yeah.
I remember when I wasn't saved. And your first consciousness, what you felt, this emptiness, I remember because I was living in California at the time, and then came back, and then God had drawn me and saved me.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when you first awake, the first consciousness, and it was so hopeless, so empty, so discouraging, so, and now, no matter what you're going through, you're awakening in His presence,
yep.
and so conscious of just His presence.
Amen.
When you just feel Him, you just know, and there's just such a peace you have, no matter what you're in the midst of.
I'm sure you all have a time, but it seems like the Lord wakes me up at 3 in the morning.
Mine's 4.
What's yours, 4?
Yeah.
Somewhere in that area?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this morning woke me up 3 in the morning, and hey, Mike, and he has his times for us, and if we're faithful and obedient, instead of rolling over, we get up. Man, usually has some golden nuggets for us, mm-hmm. doesn't he? So, yeah, Jim's laughing because I've heard stories about his.
No,
I mean, I've heard you actually have conversations with the Lord at 3 in the morning that you had to go to another place of the house to keep Marge from waking up.
Yeah. I'm not so sure a lot of it isn't just old age.
Well, there's probably some truth to that, too.
I wake up at 3 o'clock
to the bathroom.
And I have a hard time getting back to sleep, and I go, well, if I'm just going to lay here and my mind's going to ramble on, you know, I'm going to get up, go to the other side of the house.
And go to the bathroom.
First.
Yeah, and then seek and say, Lord, what do you have?
Right. Then meet God outside the bathroom.
Yeah. You know? So anyway, it's just interesting that...
So it's all good.
It's all good. It's all God. When we call upon the name of the Lord, you know, He's there, like we read, I think we read Psalms 139, that wherever we go... Are you guys warm enough in here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a little
toasty.
It's blowing right on you.
Huh?
It's
yeah.
blowing right on
yeah.
you.
Anyway, so, you know, like in Psalms 139 where it says, you know, wherever you go, I am there. Doesn't
yes.
matter where, doesn't matter
where
if you make bad decisions, doesn't matter if you do what Jonah did and go completely the opposite direction where I tell you to go.
He's there.
I'm there. I may send a fish to swallow you up for 3 days, but I'm there. And so when
you
we call...
Yeah, I just heard that. When you said that, I just heard that verse this way. Wherever you go, I am there.
I am.
Yeah, I am there.
The great
I've never
I am.
Heard it before. Like, I always heard it wherever, yeah, wherever I am.
He'll follow you.
Yeah.
No.
But I hear the Lord now saying, no, wherever I am, you are.
So. Yeah, and vice versa.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so, you know, it's like a double-edged sword. If you're going to cry out to the Lord... Don't just cry out and not expect Him to show up, because He's going to show up. It may not be the way you expect Him to show up, but He's going to show up, and He's going to show up and guide you and direct you into His will, not your own. So, but yeah, so I like that calling out to the Lord. Just, you know, I you know, sometimes I'll do it verbally, sometimes I'll do it non-verbally, but He knows either way. Sometimes I feel like I have to yell it out just because I'm in that situation. That's more for me than it is for Him, because He hears, He knows our thoughts and our next thoughts. So it's not like He needs us to scream it out. But it's for us, you know, sometimes just to make us feel better, maybe. I don't know.
Just because I know what you have need of before you even ask.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So even before you're crying out, He already hears the cry. Before you even cry,
yep.
He hears it.
Yep. He knows our next thought. So, okay, anything else on 3? If not, we'll go to 4. Anything on 3, folks? Yeah, we're going to camp out in 4 a while, because he took me on a wonderful journey on 4. So we're just going to kind of see where this goes. But in the King James, it says, rejoice, the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Well, I'll tell you, for the last, I don't know, 3 months or whatever, that song has just been on my heart. I mean, I can't shake it. And so you know, when I saw it in the scripture here, it's also in, I think, Psalms 25. Mm-hmm. But when I saw it in the scripture, I said, Lord, you know, why is that staying on me? You know, because sometimes, and another song will come on me, the song that's been on me also is the John Saw the Multitudes. Mm-hmm. Of the overcomers, you know, that song's been all over me too, you know. And in fact, honestly, that song at 3 a.m. was all over me, and I just love that song because they were all worshiping mm-hmm. the Lord. You know, some were singing, some were shouting, but they were all worshiping, you know. And then I got a funny thought. I started thinking of some of the people here in this congregation. I said, what would it be like for them to shout? And, you know, what truly does the word shout mean? But, you know, you think, when I think of shouting, I think of our sister that used to shout.
Alberta.
Yeah, Alberta. Mm-hmm. I mean, she would shout. I think everybody's shouting is a different way. I think, mm-hmm. you know, you're shouting and my shouting, everybody's way of shouting. I think it's just a declaration of how yes. awesome God is. But I think people can shout in different ways and still be shouting. But you know,
people's emotions is like when you go to a football game.
Exactly.
Some people stand up and really bellow out, and other people go, "Oh, goody, goody,
goody." Yeah, yeah. So
those are the people who don't know what's going on
and don't care.
Well, that same thing can be held true for the Lord too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I would have liked to have been in Chicago last night and ask myself.
What was Chicago?
The Cubs won.
Oh, did they? Mm-hmm. All right, good for the Cubs. I know it's been a while, but okay. So let's go to this 86:4. It says, you know, why should we lift up our soul? What does that look like? You know, it says, Lord, do I lift up my soul? What are you doing when you're lifting up your soul? What's that day to day? I mean, just kind of wanted to get a discussion on that. And then I've got some thoughts and some definitions. Anybody want to jump in on this?
It's surrender.
Pardon?
Surrender.
Okay. That's good. Surrender.
Surrender.
Anything else? Well,
and by lifting up your soul, it's an act of your will, mm-hmm. your emotions to lift the Lord up in your life and focus on Him.
Right.
As a result of that,
actually everything else will
take care of itself and get right to the Lord.
And looking at the definitions and all that's what you all are saying is exactly what it means. Any other thoughts on lifting up your soul? I mean, where are we lifting it to? We're lifting it to Him, right? You know, we're lifting everything, basically the surrender, the your will, Lord, not my will, but we're lifting all that up to Him. And it's interesting, we say up, where's up? I mean, He's here.
Here, but
it's in a higher realm, yeah. It's in a higher consciousness, so. Oh, absolutely not.
I mean, if you're down, your emotions are down or whatever, you have to just say, Lord, you know, it's all by your grace that my soul gets lifted up in the first place. You know, I can't just mouth off a bunch of words and so on and so forth without the grace of God lifting you into heavenly places, because the carnal man can't do that. It takes the grace of God. Saying, where you can really communicate and feel the producer of the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And when you start feeling that, then all the problems just like water off a duck's back. They just start.
They become less important.
Really do. They really do. Well, almost non-existent.
Because once you start doing what you said, you know, God answers prayer.
Definitely.
So it's like, you know, kind of relieved and you're confident that it's going to be taken care of.
When you call upon His name, He will show up.
Right.
And you see Him greater than whatever it is that you're going through.
Oh, yeah.
And the Amplified, it says, make me your servant to rejoice, O Lord. For to you do I lift myself up. Mm.
Mike, did you have something? Oh, I thought I heard you grunting over there. you know, like when
you're in,
you might, like when you're in grade school, it's right here.
The Message Bible, Rich, says, give your servant a happy life. I put myself in your hands.
And that's what we've been talking about.
Yeah, the joy.
Really. I mean, we're saying, Lord, this life is no longer mine. It's yours. You know, you've already paid the price for this life here. You've paid a price I can't pay. So guess what? You own this life, basically. It's your life. It's not my life anymore. It's your life. I like how this word lift up, it, you know, some of it, of course, is you know, common sense. It means to lift, bear up, carry, take, to bear, sustain, endure. I like that. We can endure a lot more if we're surrendering and lifting up our soul unto Him. There's a lot more we can endure than if we're trying to get out there and do it ourselves. I like this. It also means armor bearer. Armor bearer. So, you know, when we're lifting up our soul, I mean, you may help me out on this, but I mean, just the thought of an armor bearer, isn't that someone who carries the armor for a warrior or something? Or who, what is
it? The guy who carries the armor ahead of the warrior.
So he is our armor bearer, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, is that the way you see it, or how do we see that? Just an interesting thought.
In the New Testament, he tells us to put on
the armor of God. Well, he has to give it to us, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I just wrote a poem yesterday on armor.
Oh, really? You got it?
No, I don't have it. It's at home.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, next week, bring it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Yeah.
You know what it also means when we lift up our soul, you know, to Him? It means forgive. It means accept. So, Lord, you're saying, when I lift up my soul, I'm saying, Lord, I accept whatever you have for me, whatever your will is for me, I accept it.
Because it's all good.
Because, yeah, you know, even though there's trials and tribulations, yeah, those trials and tribulations are nothing compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us through those trials and tribulations. And then also respect. So there's a lot of, you know, exalt, regard, there's a lot of different things here. But the thing I liked on this the most is to carry away. So when we lift up our soul unto Him, I think He carries away the stuff that we're dealing with that we really don't have the ability to deal with. I think He's just carrying it away, just taking away, because it's that surrender, it's that your will, not mine. And it's like, Lord, just take all this stuff. I'm casting my cares upon you because I know you care for me. So just get it out of here. You know, I want to focus on you. I don't want to focus on my problems or concerns or trials or tribulations.
Well, that is our expectation.
Yeah.
You know, may not be, the answer may not be what we're expecting, but it is our expectation. He'll take everything away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's because that's the word. We have faith in the word. The word says, cast your cares upon me, because if we're going to cast them upon Him, they're not on us anymore.
No, the burden's His.
The burden's His, exactly. Well, the rabbit trail Lord took me on is this word soul. It's probably more for the tape than it is for the folks sitting around here, but I really think it's some interesting stuff, and you all probably know all this, but I just think it bears discussion. But in the Old Testament, first of all, the word soul appears 458 times in the Bible. So guess what? Whenever I see hundreds of times that a word is in the Bible, I say, must be important. You know, so 458 times. Now, in the Old Testament, the word is nephesh. You've heard that. Okay, nephesh. And it's self, life, creature, person, appetite, mind, living being, desire, emotion, passion, activity of the mind, will, and character. And boy, the root just makes you think. It says, the root is to take a breath and refresh oneself. I think sometimes we get so caught up in our soul that we need to just step back and take a breath and realize that a lot of this huffing and puffing is just a waste of time and energy, you know?
Every time we get huffing and puffing, it should be a red flag to us automatically,
yeah,
because we don't have the soulish mind anymore.
That's right.
Because, you know, the Lord says you have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is its peace, its joy,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Righteousness, peace.
Yeah, and whenever we find our emotions are getting all fired up, mm-hmm, then that automatically tells me that I'm getting back into the old man.
Yeah.
And it's a no-brainer. You know, whenever fear hits me, whenever anxiety, whenever worry, whatever it is, it's the Lord saying, now there's the sign right there, mm-hmm, there's the red flag that you're getting back over, mm-hmm, into the old man, you know. You're starting to operate by your old memory banks, and you've got to get out of that. You've, mm-hmm, got to come up into my mind, because you have my mind now.
Mm-hmm.
You should be full of peace, love, and joy, okay? And that doesn't mean dancing on tabletops and shouting out in the congregation, really.
Mm-hmm.
Although some people will,
some people express themselves that way.
Yeah. Praise God, maybe one of these days I will be jumping on the pews and all that.
And I'll be filming that one.
When I am, I want a picture of it. I won't believe it.
What was it that you said about brain activity?
It was, let's see,
activity of the
activity of the mind.
That grabs me, because you know that mind up there,
it's very active.
It's a scary place.
It's very active at times, yeah.
And we all need adult supervision to go in there, and that's who Christ is. We should not venture in there except under, you know, with God with us. Because he's the only one that's going to say to us, you have the mind of Christ now. Live out of that. Mm-hmm. Don't live out of this. That duality. Oh, it drives me crazy. I want it dead.
Mm-hmm.
I want that. You know, but that's that metamorphosis.
Yeah. And when you were just speaking that, the Lord just hit me with, go and sin no more. He told the woman caught in adultery, where are your accusers? And who's the accuser of the brethren?
Should be.
You know, and he said to this lady, go and sin no more. And I'm sure I'm sure the lady was thinking, how's that possible?
What the heck are you talking about?
Well, he's saying, take on my nature, get rid of that adulterous nature, and we can speak now metaphorically as far as the adulterous nature that if we don't get our true identity, we're going to be
mixed,
torn between two lovers.
Yes. Mm.
Amen.
You know, feeling like a fool.
Acting like a fool,
you know. So
doesn't Paul say, reckon your mind,
mm-hmm,
dead?
What's dead mean? I mean, dead is dead.
That's it.
So
there's no activity.
What did you die on good times, Jesus? Mm-hmm. I pity the fool.
No, that was Mr. T.
I have pity the fool.
Mr. T's a preacher now. Did you know that? Yeah, yeah. He's a preacher.
He's a
I pity the fool. But if you go to Psalms 34:2, it says, you know, and I think we're just going to kind of break this down a little bit. My soul shall make her boast. So that right there tells you that it's a feminine word. And that's not saying that feminine word, you know, there's no male or female in Christ Jesus, so we're not referring to men and women here, but we're talking to her, meaning a feminine word that we're going to get to. But my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. So that's a good thing that our soul gets herself to that point where it's boasting in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. It's a good scripture. But it does, you know, that David made it clear that the soul is feminine, you know. In fact, in the New Testament, the soul is, you could say psyche, or to really phonetically say it right, Sue Kay. So her first name's Sue and her middle name's Kay. So Sue Kay is the breath of life. The breath of life, the vital force which animates the body and shows itself in breathing. Thought that was interesting. But it's also your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions. It's who you are. And, it, you know, the root, I think it says, is the seat of the feelings, desires, affections, aversions, our heart. So, you know, you've got this word that's psyche, you know, psyche, the word psychology and psyche and all that comes from that Greek word.
Psychopath.
Yeah, it all comes from that Greek word, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, that's that. Then I had to go, okay, what is the word, what is spirit, you know? I mean, I think the church sometimes, and shout me down if I'm wrong, but I think the church sometimes gets off, you know, because they go, you know, how many souls were saved this Sunday? Well, you know what? When you get born again, your soul's not saved. I mean, if you don't agree with that, shout me down, but I think it's your spirit comes alive and your spirit becomes saved. But you're, you know, and I have to go back to this scripture, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. So let's go to that scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, oh, I'm sorry, I'll go ahead and read it now, but for a moment worketh far more exceeding than the eternal weight of glory. Where's the one that I want here? I'm getting ahead of myself. Hang on 1 second. Here it is, Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So if
but
we're...
Keep going.
For I don't
God
have...
That worketh in you.
Yeah. For
you
as God...
He's already worked.
Yeah, it's already been mm-hmm. done. But why do you think... Why do you think Paul said in there that we need to work it out through fear and trembling? You know, in other words, that tells me that our soul is not saved the minute we say, oh, Lord, you know, because, I mean, then where's the transforming your, you know, allowing him to transform us, having the mind of Christ? I mean, is it a finished work? Yeah. Is it going to happen? Yeah, but... You know, I think we have to understand that, you know, this is, I don't even want to use the word process. I don't like the word process, but this is God's plan, okay? And fear and trembling, it's like, wow, okay, I have to work out my salvation. What am I working out of my salvation? What is it? Any comments on that? I mean, what am I working out?
Well, when we first get saved, we are newborn babes in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We're newborn, we're not mature, but we are fully what we will become. So then, work out kind of means to grow up.
Okay.
We still have to go through the maturing process, and that sometimes, I would say probably always, takes learning from mistaken identity.
Mm-hmm.
Along the way.
And what you just said is one of the definitions of work out. It's to perform, accomplish, achieve, to work out, to finish. The work's been finished, but the manifestation isn't. I mean, if it was, the outward isn't finished. Is it finished work? Yeah. You know, is he going to complete that which he begun in us? Yeah. But, you know, it says to work out to finish. So what does that say to you? To work out to finish. To accomplish. He's done it. Now we're just working it out. It's just an interesting thought. I mean, because
I think a lot of it also has to do with seeing it as it is.
Yeah.
Because we see through glass darkly. But remember what it says there is in 1 John about if reality were to break forth,
mm-hmm.
we would be exactly like him because we would see him as he is. It's the eyesight.
There's still a veil there. If
yes.
we're not there, then there's still, and the veil has to be rent
identity.
From top to bottom. God has to rent the veil that separates.
It is accomplished,
you know.
But we need to see it clearly.
Mm-hmm.
I love that where it says if reality doesn't rent,
mm-hmm.
because it shows me that it is.
It's already done.
Colors that we see and the walls that we see, you know, the walls that we see, they're just atoms. You know, they're just atoms in certain, you know, configurations.
Matter.
They, yeah, that's not reality. Reality is something different than all of that.
All of the natural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Just an interesting concept, just
yeah,
to think, okay, what does that really
so
mean?
It is so hard for us to see it. Because we have been subjected, not of our own, you know, not because we wanted to be subjected to this. There is such a meaning in the term sort of like step back and take a breath. You know, and just cease from your thinking, the activity of your mind. Cease from it and just, you know, breathe in the Spirit of God.
Yeah, and that's what that word means. The root of spirit is to breathe. To blow of the wind. But this word fear, you all know the definition of fear, but this one thing I read is really cool. Fear is reverence for one's husband. So you sit there and you say, with fear and trembling. Well, it's not, you know, I'm so afraid that I'm not, my soul's not going to be saved or what, my salvation's not going to be saved. No, it has nothing to do with that right there. Reverence for one's husband is basically saying, Lord, I know that you've got all this taken care of. You're in control. And I just bless you and reverence you and praise you and honor you. Because it's all been done. That, you know, when we reverence our husband and wife in the natural, there's just this respect. There's just this trust. There's, you know, that we are right where we're supposed to be. And he's there too, you know. But I thought that was interesting for the word fear. Reverence for one's husband. And, of course, trembling. Dread, fear, terrify. But with fear and trembling, used to describe the anxiety of one who distrusts the ability completely to meet all requirements. So when we get to a point where... Go ahead.
That's the key right there.
Yes.
Paul was
yes.
talking about fear. I think what he was saying was, I...
Yeah.
I tremble at that thought.
Yeah.
I know it's God and by his grace that he's working in me. So Paul just referenced his husband
mm-hmm.
and trusted that it was God who was going to work.
That's it.
The will of God to bring him to completion, but the work was already finished with Calvary. And I think that's where the fear comes in. I don't think it's so much, well, you know, I think Paul was saying, I fear lest I try
That's it.
And that's where a lot of the teaching in the church is at today in religion, because you get saved, you're bubbling over with the love of God.
Now do some works.
And you go inside the church one day and say, yeah,
works. Right.
And then all of a sudden, I thought I was righteous for a moment. I thought everything was good between God and I. But, well, it is, but I'm still going to work real hard and pass out my four spiritual law tracts today. And that'll keep me on the good side of God. I'm pretty sure of that. I'll do what my pastor tells me to do. But the Lord keeps whispering.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's unconditional. It's us or churches or religion that put conditions on it. Yeah, it's hard. Like, I even said something a couple weeks ago, you know, being born and raised Catholic. And I just caught, and I said something, and yeah, Rich is like, that's your thinking from being born and raised Catholic.
Your old thinking.
It's hard to shake it. Yeah, I'm sure you
can. I heard a piece this morning on radio, which I listen to every once in a while. But he's saying this morning, whenever you go to God, one of the first things you want to say to God is, I know I'm a sinner.
No, yeah. Wrong. You were.
Again, it's this thing, I'm still. God loves you,
but you have to do this, this, and this, because you're still bad.
You're still a
sinner. Saved by grace.
There you go.
And that can almost become prideful.
Yeah, well, I'm
a sinner saved by grace. Yeah. Like it's something you did, and I accepted Jesus. Well, no, guess what? He first loved you, and he drew you, and without all that, you wouldn't have accepted Jesus. I'm sorry, you know?
The thing is, Rich, is if you continue to say that, what happens is your mindset says you will always be a sinner, and you will never, ever be anything but a sinner.
Right.
What happened? The battery go dead? Boy, it heats batteries, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was listening to this one preacher this past week.
Am I?
And he says, all you need is Jesus plus nothing.
Yeah.
All you need is Jesus plus nothing.
Jesus plus nothing equals
everybody
eternal bliss.
Complete in him. Paul says, don't you know that all things are yours?
Yep.
You need to start. You need to start looking in the scriptures about when he said it is finished. What is it? What did he finish? And there's a dozen things in there where he tells you that was finished at Calvary. Mm-hmm. And if we stand on that, start believing into that, and we start seeing the finished work, okay, it just starts revolutionizing your whole interior. I mean, your mind, everything. It just starts revolutionizing it. And then you start seeing all the stuff that you weren't aware that you were believing that was fed to you from all your religious days, you know. And even, honestly, a lot of the stuff that we're walking in here that needs to be, you know, flushed out, you know. But God's going to do it.
He is.
He's working.
Only
he's
he can do it.
We
can't.
It. That's it.
We have no ability.
All grace.
You know, and the one thing Eddie said years and years ago that really stuck with me, he said, yeah, it's all grace, but and this is a definition of it, what Eddie said, and it just really stuck with me, and that was, you know, if there was a blind man or woman out, you know, walks in your door or whatever, I mean, you would be, like, helping them to their seat and doing, you know, hey, is there anything I can do for them? But, you know, Christians sometimes with spiritually blind people, there's no grace. It's judgment. And there needs to be grace. There need that same grace that you give that in the natural needs to be given in the spiritual, because where we are now in Christ was none of our doing anyway. you know?
Well, see, the God you worship is the personality you'll be.
Well, that's
true. If our God is judgmental.
That's true.
And he's a killer.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be judgmental.
That's true.
If you find yourself judging people all the time, your brothers and sisters, that's the way, you've got to understand, that's the way you are perceiving your Father. Mm-hmm. Because when you know your Father, and you know that you've all passed from judgment mm-hmm. into life, everybody, when you know that he died for the sins of the whole world, and not just your sins, judgment just goes out the window. I mean, how can you judge anybody on anything?
You know?
Especially you, a brother and sister. Of course, everybody is really our brother and sister.
That's right.
Right down to it.
Everyone.
Because they've all been reconciled back to him. Mm-hmm. They just aren't aware of it yet.
That's
but
it.
In God's timing, they will be aware.
That's right. When the veil is rent on their understanding
that's
and
right.
their sight
that's right.
from top to bottom, God has to rent the veil.
That's right. When he enlightens their soul.
Right. Then the veil's rent, and now, ooh, wow, there's the Shekinah glory of God. There's the mercy seat.
Amen.
There's all these wonderful things here that I've been missing out on. But praise the Lord, he rent the veil. So
then pray that they don't stumble into a fellowship.
Yes.
That tells them tongues of the devil.
Yeah.
Baptism of the Holy Spirit went out with the apostles 2,000 years ago. See, then all of a sudden.
Well, each court we go through, we've got to look back at the people in the other courts with the same grace and mercy that the Lord gave us. Because if you're stuck in the outer court, you know, this is what they're up against. You know, I think in Revelation it says, you know, do not measure the outer court. You know, and there's a lot of measuring going on of the outer court by individuals and by others. And, you know, if we're not to measure the outer court, then don't measure the outer court. Let's help them along into each court.
Because whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And if you're binding your brother and your sister in their sins, it's tough for them to get out, you know, and walk in freedom. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for us to see someone that's been in Pentecost for 50 years. You know, that they're stuck there. They've got it all. We're full gospel. We've got it all, you know. But, you know, it's that until the Lord rents that veil of Pentecost and opens up the veil of Tabernacle, they're not going to go, you know. They're going to stay right where they are. And E.B. was the greatest example when his dad passed away. He and his dad, who was a Pentecostal preacher, used to go at it. And then finally, the Lord said in a loud, strong voice, leave him alone.
Mm-hmm.
He's right where I want him. And his dad died in Pentecost. Never experienced Tabernacle. And he said 6 weeks or 6 months later, he had this vivid dream. The whole family was sitting in the living room and everybody was there. And he looked over. His dad looked over to him and said, son, preach the man child. Wow. That just tells you God's got a plan. And it's a good plan. And everybody in his due time.
Yeah.
Well, you just read it, Rich. Somebody just said that of Philippians, where for it is God
mm-hmm.
that worketh in you. I mean, how much plainer can it be? Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, my definition of this fear and trembling was this: you are weak, he is strong. And you are weak, he is strong, and you need him in your daily walk. He is your source, your complete source. As the hay, wood, and stubble falls off of us, we finally realize we have become him. All that's left in us is Jesus, our true identity. That's just basically this fear and trembling is not what the natural mind wants to tell you is fear and trembling. Like, oh no, maybe I'm not saved, so I better do more things, you know. So There's other verses of this, unto thee, O Lord, that I wanted to read, a couple of them, because we kind of read just the one verse here. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul? And then we sing, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Mm-hmm. Then it goes on, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Show me thy ways. Teach me thy paths. Remember not the sins of my youth. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. What man is he that feareth the Lord? The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And I would say the secret of the Lord is within them that fear him. Turn to thee unto me and have mercy upon me. O my soul, deliver me. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Redeem Israel out of all his troubles. I just thought that was, I'd never heard the other verses to that, and thought that was pretty neat. In Psalms 29, O Lord, I give myself, and then in parentheses, lift up my soul to you. My God, I trust, I have confidence in you. So, you know, and then I jumped over to Revelation where it talks about the fifth seal, and it talks about, you know, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And, you know, back as a kid, baby Christian or whatever, I'd say, wow, all these people were killed. They were dead to themselves. And it goes on later, a few later verses says that they were beheaded, and we need to be beheaded. You know, we automatically, our mind wants to, you know, rush to the natural, but, you know, guys, you know, we need to be beheaded. We need to put the head, Christ who's the head, in his appropriate place. But anyway.
Years ago, I had this dream, and I was sitting at the table with a lot of other, you know, saints, and when I was sitting there, we were all sharing and talking, my head just fell off onto, in front of me, on, and God was showing me, like you're saying, being beheaded. That was years, and I was sharing it with somebody, and my granddaughter said, I remember you talking about your head falling off. What was that about? So I'm trying to explain to her what God was showing me, not literally my head, but really what's in here, mm-hmm. you know that. Mm-hmm. I remember that bit. She's 32, she was little when mm-hmm. God had shown me that.
Well, that would be an imagery being, for a kid that's
yeah,
little.
Yeah, we were sitting around talking and my head just drops into the, you know, right in front of me on the head. And then God began, I said, what is this? And then God began to show me about mm-hmm. how he's beheading, you know, how
praise
he's giving
the Lord
us the mind of Christ. That this, you know, and I didn't even know she was listening, but I was sharing it with somebody. But she said, what was that all about? Your head dropped off in front of me. So I'm, you know, explaining. But she understood when I started telling her. I
yeah.
said, not my head actually, but in here. My thoughts, you know, that he was given the mind of Christ that we needed to
right.
have this to be on. She understood it when, you know, when I explained it. When you said beheaded, I remember that.
I mean, there's a lot of scary things if for a kid that mm-hmm. takes it in the natural. I mean, you know, there's a lot of scary things that people say in the Bible that mm-hmm. really don't explain it.
Yeah, you don't see the spiritual
right.
Yeah. content. And
Well, we're going to adjourn here, but let's see. I just thought I would read the first time the word soul appeared in the Bible. I thought it was interesting, plus it's a neat little verse. It's in Genesis 2, verse 7. It says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say.
He knows the whole story now. Paul.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he sure did. Yeah.
Come back now and talk to us about the rest of the story,
exactly.
Paul.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, that was my little journey with the Lord this week. So, okay. Buddy, you want to pray?
Father, we just thank you for this gathering, Father. For what's really illuminating, Father, to hear your word and expressed in different ways from different people. Father, just thank you. And I'm encouraged by your love for us.
Thank you, Lord.
And your mercy and your grace, Father. Now let your word go before us into the sanctuary, Father. Let your word enlighten our souls and our hearts and mainly our spirit, Father. We ask that all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.